Now, for the first split message, we'll have Mr. Gary Johnson, and Steve here will pass out a little handout that will be used for that. So thank you very much.
During the recent men's study, I was one of two men who presented a topic, and the one that I presented is titled basically "The Word Consider" in the book of Hebrews. Using the New King James Version, the word is found four times in this letter. Yet, there are three different Greek words that are translated "consider" in this letter. Their definitions add extra dimensions to the English word that we hear and use quite a bit. But their definitions are very interesting, and that's good to expand on. Hence, the title of my message is simply this: Three Greek Words to Consider. So you have the handout. If you haven't, you'll see there, first word, second word, and the third word. We'll get to those after I make my specific purpose statement for the evening, afternoon. We haven't gone that far yet. So let's take a little bit of time to get to know those extra dimensions of the word "consider" as we look at the letter in the Hebrews. Now, first Greek word, as you look at your handout, you'll see it's translated as katanoio. It's found in Hebrews 3, verse 1, and also in Hebrews 10, verse 24. Now, when you look at those two verses, two different subjects are brought up. In chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus." The second one that is used is this particular Greek word, katanoio, or katanoio. It says in Hebrews 10, verse 24, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." We had a message last week from Mr. Corbett on that particular, using that phrase as a title, and also to expand on the meaning as how we can apply it. Now, Strong's dictionary gives the notation of G for Greek and 2657, as you'll note there on your handout, and looking at the meaning of it, it's to observe fully, behold, discover, perceive, and you do so attentively and thoughtfully. So in this definition, the reader of the letter is encouraged to actively engage his mind. On the topic that, you know, one verse in Hebrews 3, 1 talks about, Hebrews 10, verse 24 talks about. Engage your mind on those two topics and what we are to consider for each one of them. Vine's Expository Dictionary, if you look in there on the handout, it's a katanoio. It says, to perceive clearly. Kata, meaning intensive, and noio, to perceive with the mind, to think about. So you see now how we engage our minds as we read those scriptures and to think about them. And we do so not just reading it over, walking away. We'll see something about that a little later. But something you take the time. you think about it, meditate on it, read it with other associated verses within the context and even in other letters. Now, this word, katanoio, occurs only 14 times in the New Testament. Twice in the book of Hebrews. Now, in the other scriptures, among them is a very familiar scripture that uses this word, katanoio. Let's go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. We're going to see something that relates to this particular meaning of the Greek word, katanoia. Luke 12 and verse 24. We'll view how this definition is applied. So, we go to verse 24. Consider the ravens. For they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? I mean, addressing, you know, worrying and that type of thing, and being overly concerned about life, the matters of life. Verse 26. If you, then, are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Verse 27, consider the lilies. Again, that same word, katanoio. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so loves or clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. So God says, consider what I have prepared in my creation for the critters that run around us, that fly, that's in the deep of the sea. God provides for them, every one of them. And so we too, when we look at that, I think about something in the work that I have done in the land surveying. My oldest brother was, he had gone to the University of Washington, didn't quite reach graduation, but he was wanted to become a forester. And one of the topics, one of the studies was dendrology. That's the study of trees. You think about the men who put together those books, the study. They took the time to think about and to consider, and they did it with a lot of attention and intensively to do the cataloging of the trees, and not, you know, and even botany or zoology or anatomy, all the other means that are out there, as well as the logies, analogies, that type of thing. All of those things, the studies of men, I've taken that time and did so intensively with a lot of attention. We can do the same thing here with God's Word. When we take a look at that, considering what He has said, to consider one another, to stir up love and good words, considering the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. Now, there's one other verse that is translated a little bit differently. Still carries the same meaning. Take a look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We'll read verse 22. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Verse 22, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. Observing, the same Greek word, katanoio. Observing. You know, when people look in the mirror and they get ready for services or whatever, going out, you're looking into the mirror. I do that. You know, wet the little hair down and make sure my hair's in place. But there's other things I look at, too, when I look in the mirror. And I won't tell you the rest of them. I have no time for that today. But we see in verse 24, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So that's interesting. You can observe something. You can use that meaning of the katanoio, and you can look at it, then walk away from it, and you forget. That has happened in a number of ways in human life. In a number of ways. And verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. So that's a different mirror. Now we're encouraged to look into God's word, the law of liberty. And is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. So that shows the activity of one giving a tenth careful thought and attention to what he reads. Isn't that interesting? Oh, it's stuck. I thought I lost my second page. Stuck to the first page. I was saying... The Vincent's word study, as you'll look there in the handout, says, take careful note of each other's spiritual welfare. We see that in Hebrews 10:24. And it also, it's a continuous care. Now that adds another dimension. The continuity is expressed here. Continuous. Through prayers. Through, you know, talking with each other. Say, how's it going? Type of thing. And then we take care of each other through all of our prayers and thoughts for one another, helping us, you know, one another out. The second Greek word. Second Greek word is translated as consider, is theorial. Theorial. You think of theory. You know, a theory, well, it doesn't quite fit. And that word theory, as you know, it's a thought, it's a guess, it's a proposition of certain ideas. But this particular word in Hebrew, as dictated, as shown by Strong's, says to be a spectator of, that is, discern, literally, and figuratively experience, or intensively, you know, we got three categories here of using this particular word, theorial, acknowledge it. And so it goes on to say, behold, look on, consider, perceive, and see. And that particular Greek word is shown, occurs 55 times in the New Testament. So you get all those various words in English, and you'll see them as a part of the 55 occurrences. However, in the book of Hebrews, it only occurs once, just one time. So what is the author talking about here in that one time? Hebrews 7. We're thinking about being a spectator to watch to discern, to experience, to acknowledge. Hebrews 7, verse 4. Hebrews 7, verse 4. Let's go ahead and start with verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. After that introduction, the author now jumps into verse 4. Now consider how great this man was. When you see all the characteristics of this individual in the previous verses, take the time to think about it. Take the time to even just in your mind's eye to watch. When you go back to the Old Testament and you see a record of Melchizedek relating with Abraham, or, you know, just visualizing that and being watchful of what the words are talking about. And then you just, in a figurative sense, you experience what Abraham has gone through. So, within the context, the author is inspired by God. He's leading the reader to discern. You know, take the time to visualize it and to acknowledge the role of the high priest of the new covenant, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We found out that we know that the King of Salem and King of Righteousness, we know that Melchizedek is Jesus Christ of the New Testament. The same individual. And it's an awesome thing to think about. God working with human beings and the one who is the Word, and he speaks to groups of people, to individual leaders, or to one individual. He even uses the donkey to speak to a person. And so it's a interesting word that we can look at. We consider that at Passover about the role of Melchizedek and also on the Day of Atonement. Now, this Greek word is also translated as behold and see, as I mentioned. Vine's expository dictionary adds this comment. Under the word behold, using that English word and make this comment, that's what, a spectator is used of one who looks at a thing with interest or for a purpose. So there's something going on in our minds when we do that. We have an interest in doing this. We have a purpose in doing that. And it's usually indicating the careful observation of details. For example, John chapter 2. Turn to me, John chapter 2. John chapter 2 and verse 23. Speaking of Jesus Christ and the occurrences, events going on. John chapter 2, verse 23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw, that's the word, when they saw the oriole, the signs which he did. Here, you can just imagine and think about the scenario, the event. Here are these groups of all these people seeing these miracles happening. What do you think they did? You know, all of these, they talk among themselves, or they're sharing it with one another. They see something, it has an effect upon them. And they are thinking about it. They're just beginning to discern something's going on here. And they are experiencing the Word of God doing miracles. They're having animated discussions. Perhaps, you know, a lot of them, being Jews, they would have grown up reciting Old Testament scriptures. Did they call up Old Testament scriptures and wondered? And regarding the Messiah, the prophecies, that's my guess they did. Just all of these things. You know how people are, they'll do that. And then what happens? They believed in his name, in that authority that he carried. John chapter 12 is another one. John chapter 12 is another one that relates to this particular Greek word. Verse 44, John 12. Verse 44, then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. Then he says in verse 45, he who sees me sees him who sent me. That same word, sees, equals theorio. Being a spectator, to watch, to observe in this sense, but to see Jesus Christ, see the Word of God, and to see Jesus Christ is the one who revealed the Father. See, who sees me sees the Father. And that's why he came to this earth, the first coming, to see, the revealing the Father. And so, that brings up the next word, the third word, translated as considered, found in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3. If you'll turn there, Hebrews 12, to the back of the part of the letter. Hebrews 12, verse 3. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Now, when you contemplate a little bit about this particular verse, this is the only time this particular Greek word is used in the New Testament, just one time. And this is Strong's, you know, number 357 of the Greek language. But I dare you to pronounce that word. Okay, you don't have to say it now. You know, you all got it. And now, I'll get my tongue on straight. Analogizomai. Lions, tigers, bears, oh my. There's analogizomai. So you can tie that in, you know. It's analogies. You know, analogous. That's a word that you then it brings to your mind how it relates to what we're thinking here and what we're wanting to learn about this particular use of this word. In Strong's, it means to estimate, that is figuratively, to contemplate. And then Vine's, analogizomai, says to consider. And Vincent, word studies, to reckon up, to, you know, to compile, to put together, to add up, to consider in the way of comparison. Now, That's kind of interesting when we use the word comparison. What other verses would compare to this notion? How about 2 Timothy 2, verse 7? 2 Timothy 2 and verse 7. 2 Timothy 2, verse 7, and we'll read in this particular context in this letter. 2 Timothy 2, verse 7. Consider, see, Paul's writing to Timothy. He's a mentor to Timothy, a young fellow that he had known him for a long time. You know, his mother and his grandmother that taught him, Timothy, quite well. But consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Consider what I say. What was Paul saying? He was preaching the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God, of how to relate to one another as a human beings, among human beings, as well as relating to God and Jesus Christ. How do we relate to one another? It's all part of the gospel, which Paul was preaching and helping Timothy to understand and to grow in this understanding. And then Hebrews 7. I'll just quote it for now. Hebrews 13. Then verse 7. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. So you're making a comparison. You're using what to do? What are you using for a basis of comparison? The word of God, the standard of Jesus Christ. So, considering the outcome of their conduct. You know, this Greek word, it carries the emphasis of this particular action, to look again, to look again. And do so with attention. It's related to the earlier word, the second one. To look again. How many times have you, if you were putting together maybe an essay or a sermonette, or you add some numbers together and part of your budget, and you put it down and then that didn't look right. Or is it right? Then you're looking again and you're checking it. And you're making sure this is good, this is right, or you're making a correction. That's kind of connection of this particular Greek word in that verse, Hebrews 13, verse 7. So, with this exercise that we've gone through, of viewing the sense of these Greek words translated as consider, we find greater insights into what the author shared with the Hebrew Christians. We find instructions and encouragement for all of us, not only just those at the time of the letter was written, but for all of us to meditate on these words, and we strive to go on to perfection. It's part of our task, part of our responsibility to calling. We find how we can give attention to our spiritual growth as we contemplate and focus on the role that our Savior and High Priest, Jesus Christ, has performed, and is performing in our behalf. We find that we are to care for one another, and we do. And we're encouraged to continue to do so. We find to stir up love and good works. And we find that the Father and Jesus Christ are at work bringing many sons to glory in the family and the kingdom of God. You know, with God's help and with the gift of the Holy Spirit that he's given us, we who are partakers of the heavenly calling, or as in one of the letters of Peter says, partakers of the divine nature, being children of God because of that calling. We who are partakers of the heavenly calling have and will continue to come to discern, to acknowledge the sacrifice of Jesus Christ throughout the year and even year after year at the Passover. We will discern and acknowledge his role as the high priest of the new covenant, the captain of our salvation, that's shown there in Hebrews, the Lamb of God, our Savior, the mediator of the new covenant. We'll find those terms in these letters. What is God's desire? What is God's desire? He wants to bring many sons to glory, to live with him forever.